Just pray again. Father, as we come to look at your word now, please help us to understand what you're saying. Make it really clear to us. We're talking about your love this morning, and your love is so overwhelming, so exciting. It's so unlike what we are used to in many ways. So unlike what this world believes love is. Challenge us again. Excite us again. Startle us again, Lord, with your love for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, talking about love this week, I knew I wanted to talk about this, but I actually struggled to find a passage in the Bible to base this on, not because I couldn't find one, but rather because there are so many to choose from. Love is kind of a fundamental theme throughout the Bible. Lots of people in the Bible talking about it, especially in the New Testament. But the writer who becomes the authoritative voice on Christian love is the Apostle John. He mentions it a lot in his gospel, but he really focuses on it in his letters towards the end of the New Testament. Love is of central importance to him. And there can be no question in John's mind about the call on our lives to express and grow in our capacity for true Christian love. Listen to some of the ways that John expresses that truth. 1 John 3:11, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in them? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. 1 John 4:21, he has given this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And here's the one that I want to concentrate on this morning. If you've got your Bibles, do turn to this. This is in 1 John 4. Verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is love. How many of you will own up to having had a favorite doll or teddy bear or something like that when you were a child? That's a good number of you. I won't ask if any of you have still got one. My eldest daughter, Kirsten, when she was just two, was given a bear by her grandfather. She already had a range of dolls and bears and all sorts of other things, but for some reason, this one was instantly special. It was called Yellow Teddy for the profound reason that it was yellow. And Yellow Teddy wasn't a particularly lifelike bear. It wasn't very elegant. It wasn't one of those huge bears that you can get that just envelop you. It didn't squeak or growl or play music when you pressed its tummy. It was actually knitted out of yellow wool with a blue waistcoat. And to be honest, it was was slightly tatty even when she got it. And over the years, Yellow Teddy got increasingly tatty, as things like that do. The wool was quite light in colour and showed the dirt, and it would get holes under the arms. And Yellow Teddy was filled with that sort of white stuffing that looks like a cross between cotton wool and spider's webs. And Kirsten used to sit and pick this stuffing out of Yellow Teddy so that the bear steadily got deflated and hung even more limp and tatty and ragged. But in the way that little kids do, for reasons that no one could quite understand, Kirsten loved that teddy bear. She loved her, or him. We're not quite sure we ever established the gender of Yellow Teddy. Loved it with a love that was probably too strong for Yellow Teddy's own good. We made the mistake once of going away for the weekend somewhere and not packing Yellow Teddy. Kirsten was inconsolable. It's just as well we were only away for the weekend, because I dread to think what would have happened if we'd been gone for a week. Now, I would love to show you Yellow Teddy, but of course I can't, because he's up in Dundee with Kirsten. A few years ago, we managed to get some reconstructive surgery done on Yellow Teddy. We refilled the stuffing and sewed up the holes and sponged off the dirt and did liposuction and Botox and all that sort of thing. Got him to a state where he was almost as handsome on the outside as he had always been in the eyes of the one who loved him. Kirsten didn't love Yellow Teddy because he was handsome and beautiful. She loved him with a love that made him beautiful. There is a kind of love that seeks value in what is loved. There's a kind of love that is drawn to its object, the thing that is being loved, or to the person that's being loved, because that person is attractive, or because that object is expensive, or is important, or can give me status, or make me feel good. There's a kind of love that seeks value in what is loved, and there is a kind of love that creates value in what is loved. In this world that we live in, most of the love that we see is the kind of love that seeks value in what is loved. It's all about desire. I want stuff. You want stuff. We all want stuff. We go after stuff. Jesus came along and said, there is another way to be. There is another kingdom to live in. There is what might be called the kingdom of God as against the kingdom of earth. And this is marked by another kind of love. Down here, love seeks value in what it loves. We grow up and we all see this. Everyone here knows about this. I don't have to tell you about it. We all grow up and see some people and they are bright or they're attractive or they're talented. Or they're really well coordinated, or they're really athletic, and they got all the good stuff. And everyone else just gets the leftovers. We spend our time, our lives, trying to convince people that we are important enough, or successful enough, or smart enough, or talented enough, or attractive enough, or impressive enough to get love. It just happens everywhere. We all play the same game. Let me impress you. Please value me. We keep score differently. We might keep score by money or achievements or career or a house or a car or a wardrobe or a body or a face or a talent level. We all keep score differently, but we all play the same game. And the name of the game is this: I want to be loved. I want to be loved. Everybody know is playing that game, whether they know it or not, whether they're good at it or not, whether they are really subtle at it or not. Two-year-old children and chief executives of companies, everybody is playing that game. It's just the human heart. It's the human heart in me and in you. I want to be loved. I'll tell you a secret truth about the person that you're sitting next to. Something that they may never have told you. Just take a look around the room for a moment. Just kind of out of the corner of your eye. Literally, go on. What you're looking at is a bunch of raggedy teddy bears. Some of them are a little more ragged than others. But we're all just raggedy teddy bears. No matter how what we do or how we climb, we can never quite escape this sense of raggedness in us. And the writers of the Bible have a word for this raggedness of the human condition, and that word is sin. The prophet in the 64th chapter of Isaiah says this: "All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." Every one of us has become like somebody unclean. Our best works of righteousness, the stuff we get so puffed up about, and often judgmental or self-righteous about, our best works of righteousness have become like filthy rags, it says. And the real problem down here in this kingdom, the kingdom of the earth, is the problem of the human heart. So Jesus came along to do something about it, to bring up there, down here. And mostly that is about another kind of love. Mostly what has existed throughout eternity in that kingdom is the ceaseless, delightful, submitted servant love of the Trinity, of the Father for the Son, of the Son for the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit for the Father. Jesus brought that down and started loving ragged people who usually get trashed down here. That love is so powerful. Zealots, terrorists of the day, who hated the Romans. Romans who hated the Zealots. Jesus just came and loved everybody with this special kind of love. That's what got him in so much trouble. He was called the friend of sinners, and it was not intended as a compliment, but he wore it like a badge of honor. And so John writes, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God. Not surprising that any human being should love God. That's what we would expect, because God has all value. God is love and beauty and grace and truth and creativity and goodness and joy. Like kids who say they love the ice cream man. That is not surprising. This is what's surprising. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us. That's why for the last 2,000 years, the central image, reflection, expression, whatever you want to call it, of the people of Jesus has been a cross. This was the cost of making up there come down here. Jesus knew it would be that way. That was his way. Maybe you don't understand everything about the cross. I certainly don't. There is a lot of mystery there. Think about it like this. If nothing else, the cross is the ultimate expression of how much God loves you. Jesus, who spent his whole life manifesting and teaching about this kind of love, ended up saying, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did at the cross. God does this reconstructive surgery thing. God forgives sin and cleans consciences and starts transformation. We talk a lot about transformation, making up there, come down here for actual people. And this starts with you and me being transformed into loving persons. Being transformed into loving persons is what transformation is all about. It's what spiritual life is all about. It's what our God is all about. Having this calling to spread this kind of love up there, all over the place, down here. The cross is where it happened. Jesus has just one request. You can receive this love. Maybe you've never received it before. This can be your day. You can say today, okay, God, I confess my own raggedness, my own need for forgiveness and cleansing, and I want to come to the cross like people have been doing for 2,000 years and receive that love and become your follower. Jesus has just one request. Christian faith is not supposed to be hugely complex. We make it so complicated sometimes. It is not rocket science. John puts it like this: since God so loved us, we ought also, and we might expect him to go on to say something like, since God loved us like that, we ought to love God. And we should love God, but that's not what John says. John says, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus says, love me, love my raggedy old teddy bears. It's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. John says that anyone who doesn't love doesn't know God. Want to know how to break God's heart? Just don't love somebody. If you want to break the heart of God, just find some rag dolls, raggy teddy bears, and don't love them. Just ignore them. Look the other way. Just belittle. Just gossip about them. Just find someone who's walking down the wrong road and know they are. Know it's going to be destructive, but give in to fear or apathy and don't confront them. Just hold a grudge and you can break God's heart. It's a funny thing in the church that we are scandalized by certain sins. We're scandalized by financial misconduct. Church leaders get in trouble about that. Sexual sins. People talk a lot about that. It can do a lot of damage. It's kind of a puzzle to me. We are not very scandalized by lovelessness. I don't know why that is. I don't think I've ever heard of someone being asked to leave a church because they weren't loving enough. But Jesus is scandalized where there is not love. Love is the whole deal. Love is it. Let's pray together. Maybe in this moment you're aware that there are wounds that you are carrying around because somebody didn't say something to you that they should have. Or somebody said something that they shouldn't have. Maybe it was a mum or a dad or a brother or a sister. Maybe it was a spouse or a friend or someone who wasn't there. Maybe you're carrying a wound in your heart, and what God wants you to know right now is that there is love of another kind. What you are so hungry for and what you desire so much cannot be found down here except through God, except through Jesus. And you can find it right now, today, if you want. You just tell him. You can come to the cross today. Just tell him, God, I acknowledge the raggedness in my life. I ask your forgiveness. And I want to receive your love. I want you to be my leader and my forgiver and my partner with you for the rest of my life. maybe you're aware right now as you sit in this room that there is someone in your life that needs to hear you say, I love you. Before this day is done, you need to look someone in the eyes, or you need to pick up the phone or pick up a pen, and there are some words you need to say. Maybe your deal right now is about you and God. Maybe if you are honest and you think about what it is that Jesus did for you, what happened to his followers, you would say, my life has just been devoted to something less. I want to change. I want it to be devoted to loving God and loving people, and everything else comes second to that. I'm going to put a stake in the ground about that right now. Lord God, thank you so much that into this world, into this ragged world, Jesus came to bring another kind of love. It's here, right now, all around this room. It is your heart for us. We are so grateful. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.